guys. This is Tyler Babin, and welcome to this week's episode of Tuesday Morning Coffee. Really excited to have you guys listen to this conversation that I had this week with my good friend, Elliot Robinson. Elliot and I worked, well, if we really go back, Elliot and I actually lived together right whenever he moved to New York City. We ended up working together on Team Gary for about 2 years. We became very close, and it's been amazing to watch this kid's journey. We chatted just overall everything, what it was like working together, what it's like, you know, being Team Gary alumni as we're both sort of running through the world doing our own things now. Really excited for you guys to listen to this conversation. We went super deep on, you know, the ideas of original content creation and how to stand out in all the noise that is social today. I hope you guys like it. And this is Tuesday Morning Coffee with Elliot Robinson. Welcome to Tuesday Morning Coffee. I'm your host, Tyler Babin. We're here with episode 7.
Nice.
Elliot Robinson.
Nice. One episode off of my lucky number 8. That's the number I wore.
Do you want me to just hold off and I'll put it out as 8?
We could do that. If you want to do that? No, fuck it.
Yeah, I gotta have an episode for this week.
You need something for this week, yeah.
Dude, so we have a lot to chat about.
Yeah.
Because we've known each other for a minute now. And there's, I mean, one, just the story of how you and I lived together for a while. And what you're up to and all those things. And because we sort of float in similar worlds, I'm sure a lot of people know who you are. But
yeah,
give me the elevator pitch. Who you are, what you do.
I mean, I'm from Sweden. I always say this and preface it because I love my country.
Yeah.
And I always like going back there. It's like Super Mario Land for me. Like every time you go back, I don't know if it's the same when you go to Florida. It's just like, it's a playground and it just all feels, I don't know, it feels funny. So I always mention that. I'm from Sweden. I started in video editing, probably very similar to you being in photography. I think it was always a creative more than anything else. I don't think it's video or music or comedy. It's just like, how do you get to express yourself creatively?
Yeah.
So the first way I did so was through editing on my Sony Ericsson, like music videos, like way back when, when Soulja Boy was popping, when like, you know, do your chain hang low, do a wobble to the flow. Like I made a music video with my friends back in Sweden on the Sony Ericsson, and then that transitioned into taking pictures of sunsets, and then taking pictures of sunsets and posting to Instagram, transitioned into understanding what growth hacking was, even though I didn't really know what it meant. So I go on hashtags in 2011 and get it on the popular page and gain a bunch of followers. I was like, woohoo! And then after that, tying everything kind of together, where I would make YouTube Call of Duty montages. I think a lot of people who are into editing and creative, like that's like their core, and like that's really like was a springboard for me. I made Call of Duty montages on YouTube. I had like 200 subscribers. It was like, I was popping. In other words, I was really popping back then.
Yeah.
And then in freshman year of high school, I came back one day from class, and I was like, I was always really good in school, and I went to school with my boys and for basketball. So it wasn't the best school. So I chose so in Sweden, you get to choose like what line you go in. So I choose like physics and geometry.
Oh, like line of work.
Yeah.
But this is still in high school?
High school.
Okay.
So I chose like the hardest line of work in that school because I was like, I was a very ambitious guy.
Yeah.
And I get back because I'm more than I am ambitious, I am social.
Right.
So I got back after a week and I was like, I fucking hate my class. I told my mom, there's not a single person in my class that I will ever be able to hang out with for 3 years. I can't do this anymore. I came home one day and I just went into the shower and like a pussy I am, I just started crying. Dude, I started bawling my eyes out because I thought this is going to be my life for the next 3 years.
Yeah.
And then I don't know, I think a couple days later, I just was on my computer and I just opened up Sony Vegas, which was the editing program. That I'd been editing my Call of Duty videos, and I'd been playing basketball, and like season was starting for the NBA. It was in August. I think it was like August 28th, 2013, or 29th, one of the two. We should make it a national holiday, Dunk Day.
Yeah.
Because that's when I started the account then called Nasty Dunks. So I started Nasty Dunks back then, and basically all I did was throw music in the background in a video, and then from there, it took me a bunch of places, and now I'm not completely sure what I do, and I don't think a lot of people do. It took me in 2016 to the U.S., where my first roommate was Tyler Babin. I think we started like the same day or same week at VaynerMedia.
Yeah, I think. Well, I had been an intern for a few months. I think we started on Team Gary like 2 weeks apart.
Yeah.
And it was funny because on like my third day of being on Team Gary, Andy K rolls over to me and he's like, hey, look, we have this kid moving here from Sweden.
Yeah.
Can he move into your apartment with you?
You're like, yeah, absolutely fucking not.
No. Well, I mean, that was my first thought. I was like, I have no idea who this person is.
Yeah.
But also, I wanted to make a good impression on the team. Yeah. And I was just like, yes, of course he can move in with me.
You had no rooms. You just had to figure it out.
Yeah. Luckily, like, one guy was, like, leaving for 2 months. And Columbia, so I was like, all right, I have a room. Yeah, he can come to it.
What was his name, Juan?
Was it Juan? Yeah, Juan, it was Juan. Yeah,
Juan. That's funny, man.
That was such an interesting apartment.
Yeah.
It was like, it was a nice apartment in a terrible neighborhood.
Yeah.
The crazy thing is, like, you ring the buzzer, or you, like, called me, and I come downstairs, and it was the first time you and I had ever seen each other, and you just got two suitcases, like, one's just filled with shoes, and, like, you just had so much energy at, like, 1 o'clock in the morning.
You're just like...
I was like, what did I get myself into?
Dude, who are you, first of all? Like, yeah.
But now we've become good friends, and, like... Yeah. It's been fun to both watch your journey and see how we both... I mean, we sat next to each other for, like, 2 years on Team Gary and worked with each other every day, and now we're both kind of off doing different things.
Yeah.
Talk to me about how you actually got the job with Gary, because it's a fun story of how you actually met him while he was in London and all that stuff.
So I found a podcast of... I found a video on Instagram of him that I think Andy had placed on one of the, like, motivational accounts that I was following. And then I found a podcast of him talking, and, like, I got more in tune. I was like, all right, I got to meet this guy. And for me, I was big into the law of attraction back then. I was like, I can manifest anything. Like, my first
time... Do you still, like, believe in law of attraction, like, manifestation and stuff like that?
I still do, but back then it was, like, it was a hack to the universe for me.
Right,
it was like, holy shit, I can attract whatever I want, and I would, like, attract specific things. Like, I would attract $100 gift card, or I would attract this, or I would attract that. Now I've come to a point where it's just like, if you start following an intent, the universe will attract for you. And I think that's the next step.
Yeah.
Instead of you trying to play the universe, cause it's always a swinging game and like what comes up must go down.
Yeah.
So that's my,
well, like, and I want to dig into the Gary thing, but this is just interesting cause the idea of like manifestation has been on my mind a lot recently. Yeah. What do you mean when you say, like, following an intent? Like, break that down for someone who maybe doesn't understand, like, high level what we're talking about.
Good interviewer, huh? no, it's good. It's good. This is the type of shit I can't do. I can't. Yeah. With intent, that's my Swedish. I mean, intuition.
Okay.
It just basically means follow your gut, however simple that means. And I actually wrote a quote yesterday that was about gut feeling. And it was... came prepared, Babin.
No,
allow presence to take over and for signs to present themselves. Lightly listen to others and draw inspiration from them, but when you feel inspired, make sure you channel that. Stay on track. Ask yourself, do I want to create what me, the ego, wants, or what me, the presence, wants? Yeah, I don't think that was it. That was a creation process.
Yeah. No, that's interesting. But I really like that last line you said. What was it? To listen lightly to others?
Yeah, listen lightly and draw inspiration.
Yeah.
But if you have something that you want to express, you got to express that first.
Yeah.
But this comes from a whole different... This is the upstate trip. So let's get back to the intuition. What that means is essentially just like you have to allow yourself... Fuck, I'm going to find it because I really think it puts into words... I got two phones also. That was like always the thing that you'd make fun of me when we're...
For those only listening to the audio version, Elliot's looking for a quote and can't figure out which phone it's on.
Yeah.
Because he's always carried two for as long as I've known him.
And I don't know why, because I only... oh, here it is. So this is it. Be aware of it. Arrow. Be present. Arrow. This is, arrow means leads to, so... Being aware of something leads to being present, leads to create habits to maintain it, which leads to be mindful of old habits that drag you out of it, which leads to start with the small things, which lead to learn and repeat. So it is basically your intuition.
Yeah.
And that's, for me, that was my mindset, and that's my process of how you stay following it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think a lot of times for creators and just for anyone in the world, it's so easy to get off track of like you start doing shit and you suppress that.
Yeah.
You suppress your gut feeling because you think what you're doing is right, and you need to explore, obviously, and you won't always be right, but your gut feeling / presence and intuition will always guide you, I think, to like what you're supposed to be doing. And that was my process. Maybe I can send you the screenshot of that, and it'll make a lot more sense.
Sure.
But yeah, that's what following intuition and intent means for me.
All right. I love it.
It's something that's been on my mind a lot, like just this idea of like manifestation. There's been a couple projects I've really wanted to do.
Yeah.
And I just felt like I wasn't setting myself in a place or like putting any energy into manifesting those. Yeah. And as soon as I consciously started thinking about it, three brands hit me up in the same week to shoot the project I want to shoot. And I was just like, dope.
And it makes sense. You know? Also, it's not just like you think, and people always say think and then action, but it's like, once you start thinking in those routes, it's the energy that you have in yourself, which it doesn't mean you don't even have to act. It's not like you have to act. It's that the energy that you're all of a sudden presenting within yourself, like just in your body, will act if you allow it to. That's the thing. Like, you have to allow yourself to act on demand and to manifest it. Does that make sense?
I get it.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Okay. We tangent in there. Back to,
I like tangents. Those are my favorite things.
That's like literally going to be this entire podcast probably. Back to...
I'm going to start a podcast called Tangents, and it's just going to be like...
Back to manifestation, meeting Gary for the first time.
Yeah. So I was just like, I'm going to put my mind to it, and I'm like... And this is less manifestation for me. It was more of like, I can do anything, kind of ego. Like, I'm going to just meet the dude.
Right.
So I hit him 10 times, IG, Snapchat... email, everything.
Yeah.
And he responded on Snapchat and on Instagram. He responded on Snapchat and email.
Yeah.
And by then I'd built, the reason he actually responded was because I'd built like a base.
Yeah.
I'd built this Dunk account, which had like 1 million followers or something back then, maybe 600,000.
Yeah.
And on Snapchat, it was just coincidentally, I was like, yo, I'm Dunk on Instagram. And he checked it out and he's like, okay, well, we can do 15 minutes in London. So I emailed Tyler, who's his assistant still, and he set up 15 minutes when I was in London. And I went from Stockholm to London to meet with him in a hotel lobby. I was 17, I think.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think you were 16 or 17.
16 or 17.
Yeah.
I keep saying that I missed a bunch of tests because I think it adds to the story, but I don't think that's true. Like, to be honest with you, I just went, I made a little video about it, met D-Rock, I met Alex, I met... Mike Vacanti.
Oh yeah.
I met Eric, who opened the London office.
For a while.
Anyways, I met a lot of good people.
Yeah.
And I was in a hotel lobby and I spoke with that Gary for like an hour, and then I went to dinner with him. And I think that's like what happens when like the energy is right.
Yeah.
He'll like keep pulling you in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all right, so come, and he'll like take advantage of the full opportunity. And I think that's what happened with you as well with the car ride.
100%.
So yeah, and then he was like, all right, when can you start? And then I went home to Sweden. He wasn't responding to any texts. Like I had 10 outbound. Like, I was a crazy ex-girlfriend. Like I had 10 outbound texts and they're all like this long. I'm like, this is what you should be doing. And then one day he was like, fuck it, this kid's just got it. And he emailed Andy and the team and was like, I'm adding Dunk to my team this summer. And they were like, okay, what the fuck is he going to do?
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck am I going to do? He's like, he just has to graduate high school first. And then I moved to New York in 2016. So that's the story. That's the story.
Yeah, it's really funny too, because it's like, to think all of that was happening while I was like still on the intern, like client side of Vayner, and then we both sort of like crossed paths. It's so funny how the world works. Okay, so
I can't actually believe that they, because it was Nasty Dunks in the beginning of the account, and I was emailing him, and it was from like an email. It was like nastydunks@yahoo.com. Like, bro, that sounds like a porn email. Like, it sounds like a thought bot's emailing you. Like, I can't believe they responded, but I'm grateful they
did. That's so funny. Okay, so you land in New York.
Yeah.
I mean, had you been to New York before?
Nah.
You like land in New York, straight to Brooklyn.
I'd been to Boston every year growing up because my dad's from Boston and my mom's from Sweden.
We end up living together for the first like month or two that you were there. Talk to me about what that first like initial experience in New York was, sort of finding your footing on Team Gary.
Yeah.
All that stuff.
So I'd never been stressed. Okay. I had never in my life had like, you know, the feeling here.
Yeah.
I'd never had that. I keep saying this before I came to New York.
Yeah.
And like, I started working on a team and like,
and then
I started getting responsibilities. And one morning or night, I was like, what the fuck is this in me? And it was just stress that had compounded that I hadn't even realized.
Yeah.
So that was something new. Like, how do you deal with that? Because I had a too good grown up. Like, I had no adversity, barely. Like, everyone has small shit.
Yeah,
childhood. But, like, I didn't really have a lot. So I think I needed that it was like these 3 years have really been like an adversity builder for me. Like 18 to 22, that's 4 years, Elliot. Your math is not great. It's an adversity. Actually, it is 3 years.
No, you're right, because February, next February will be 4 years that I moved to New York.
And July will be 4 years for me.
Yeah.
So, self-deprecating, that was the energy thing again. I shouldn't have done that. Like, just let it flow. Anyways, I think those 3 years were really big in, like, putting me through adversity and learning myself, teaching myself how to deal with it. Yeah. Living by yourself, not having your money. How do I pay taxes? I still can't pay taxes. Like, I'm still figuring a lot of shit out. And, like, everyone always thinks it's perfect from the outside. But, like, everyone's figuring shit out as they go. And I think that was one of the most important things for me when moving to New York and, like, figuring out the workflow. It was interesting.
But I'm sure, like, you wouldn't trade any of that because it made, like, New York.
Yeah.
4 years in New York is like 20 years everywhere else in the world. Like, you have to grow up so fast.
It forces you in a way to, It forces you in a way to, like, mature. It forces you in a way to go out there and get shit. It forces you in a way to understand what you want versus don't want. It forces you to be on a budget versus not being on a budget, and, like, learning from it. It like forces you to learn.
Well, it's funny. It forces you to learn, but I think that can be said about just, like, putting yourself outside of your comfort zone. Yeah. Like, put yourself in situations where you have no other option but to grow.
Yeah.
Because you and I both did the same thing in that we moved with no family.
Yeah.
With, like, no real support system here. We were like on our own. So it's either you get up to the plate and, like, deal with shit,
or you don't,
or you flop.
For you, did you feel, because when I moved, it didn't feel weird for me. Like, it didn't feel like, I like what you're saying, and I think a lot of people can relate to it.
Yeah.
For me, moving by myself, it just felt like the natural thing for me to do. Yeah. I was always like, I'm not gonna stay in Stockholm forever. Like, I'm not hanging around here. How was it for you? Because you're from Florida, right? And it's just a different dynamic, the U.S. versus Europe.
100%. No, I mean, I always was, like, pretty ambitious and knew I didn't want to stay. And I was, like, in a small town, too. Yeah. At least, like, Stockholm was, like,
Gainesville, is it?
I lived in Gainesville for a while, but I was living in Tallahassee when I left. But no, I mean, I remember, like, day one landing here, it was just, like, felt like home. It was, like, sick, I'm supposed to be here.
Yeah.
Like, immediately was on the streets. Like, I'm not scared to, like, talk to people and have to, like, go through that weird process. It just felt like what was natural.
That's what it felt like for me, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I like that.
But the funny thing, and I don't know if you felt this, the process of leading up to it was, like, very nerve-wracking and kind of scary.
Well, I didn't have anywhere to stay until 2 weeks from moving. That's very true.
Well, neither did I. I found, like, my first roommate on Facebook from, like, a random person I was in sixth grade with.
Yeah.
And they were, like, clinically psychotic. It was insanity.
The roommate?
Yeah.
Or the person from sixth grade?
No, the roommate. Yeah. That's another story for
a
different day.
We can get into roommate stories. If you move to New York, you better prepare. Like, you're going to have some funky-ass rooms, funky-ass roommates.
Yeah. I mean, I'm signing. So in 4 years, I've gone through, like, five apartments.
Yeah, same.
And this lease that I'm about to sign right now next month is the first time that I like the apartment and like the roommate.
Yeah.
Like, same. It took a long time to get there.
So much. Same. Yeah. Where I feel good about both.
Yeah.
Where it's, like, good rent, affordable rent, but still, like, it's a nice spot. Your roommate's clean. Like, I'm with Andy right now. I'm in a great spot. And I still haven't checked yours out, but I want to check it out.
Yeah. I want to kind of, like, fast forward a little bit, and I'll give context. How long, like, start to finish, did you stay on Team Gary? 2 years?
A year and a half, I think.
A year and a half. Was it really that short? I felt like it was longer.
It could be, like, a year. It could be shorter.
I feel like it was more than a year, at least.
It was. I moved July 2016, and I left. Mentally, I left probably, like, July 2017.
Yeah. I think that's probably what it was. It was more of, like, you started to, like, step away.
September/October 2017, though, I think is when it left.
Okay. Talk to me about that. Both now being, like, Team Gary alumni.
I like that.
Yeah. We'll start a club. Talk to me about, like, sort of overall your...
There's, like, two parts to the club.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that.
What sort of made you want to leave? And then we can get into the reasons of, like, why we both stepped away. But why did you leave? What did you kind of learn from it? And what's your relationship with Gary now?
So I think I've always had a pretty close, very close relationship with Gary.
Yeah.
I think everyone who's on the team wants to be around him more.
Because,
like, that's why you start, is to feed off of the energy. And I think the reason why I started stepping away was like, A, I felt I had other opportunities presenting themselves, which was like Dunk, and we'll get into that if we want to. But also it was, I was not following my gut feeling at the company, and I was feeling afraid of doing things. Yeah. And like, I don't know why, but it just didn't feel right. So then I started checking out a little more and more and more. Not like I wasn't doing the thing.
When you're talented,
like you are as well, it's a problem because you can do minimum effort and then still achieve
and still, like,
what's
get away
okay
with it,
and still get away with it.
Yeah, that was a problem I had a lot towards the end of my time there.
Yeah, and I always would talk to Andy about this, like, after and during. It's like, it's just a fucking problem because then, like, you're getting away with it, but everyone knows or it could be better, and then it's just this weird dynamic starts to form.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I just told Gary, like, yo, I'm not happy with what I'm doing. Like, I feel I've capped. Like, I just didn't feel like I was growing, whatever that means, I wasn't growing. And I just wasn't spending enough time with him, and that's what I told him. And he was like, and he's very in the way that he sends people off. I think, like, that's one of his strengths is retaining talent and sending talent away. I gotta leave. He's like, whenever you need me, wherever, just let me know. Like, I'm there for you for life. Like, I love you. You're my brother. And that was like, I think you had a very similar experience.
Yeah, it was the exact same.
Where it's like, I went into Vayner for like 2-3 months, like half a year after I'd quit. I still have my card and I can go there anytime. And that was like an agreement that Gary and I had. He's like, come in because I want people to feed off of your energy. And I also want, because he knew it was my family. Like, I want you to still see people. Like, and it was, that was a big thing for me. But yeah, that's why I left. I don't know. I just felt like I'd capped and had other shit growing. What about you?
Well, so it's interesting. And it's funny to hear what kind of your, like, sort of closing conversation of that chapter with Gary was, because it was very similar to mine. And I think I said the same thing. I was like, I want us to continue working together in the future and things like that. Yeah. But, like, right now, I'm, like, at a glass ceiling. I can't move anymore.
Yeah.
And I need to, like, go level up in a different place. And then whenever I come back and we, like, can work on our next thing together.
Maybe it's a partnership.
Yeah, like, it can be just, like, on a different level. And we can both help each other more than what we can do right now. And I think I was similar in that, like, there were just other opportunities that were starting to pop up more and more.
Yeah.
And the last, I would say, like, year and a half at Gary, I got a lot of job offers for substantially more money than what I was making on Gary's team.
Yeah.
And, like, none of them felt right until, like, the Adobe thing came up. Just because I was like,
which,
cool, I can finally
get a job.
Yeah, which is just, like, I can take a bet on myself, you know, and, like, see what I can build in a year, which is the biggest thing ever.
It's, like, the perfect opportunity. And you, when you got that, I was fucking screaming at you in the phone. Like, you even had a job offer from where we're at right now. Like, you had a lot of shit because you're a talented person. But I think when you are that talented, you're like, I don't want to work for anyone. Like,
There was no logical thing for me to go to from Gary.
Like, what am I going to do with you? Like, how am I going to work with you when I have all this knowledge and expertise and talent?
Exactly.
And I can just bet it on my own journey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So talk to me now. You've been out of the system for a while. What are you up to?
So
I know this is a tough question because even, like, whenever we're just homies talking about it, it's hard to, like, fully pinpoint everything you have going on.
It's interesting. So Dunk obviously is, like, a media company that I built, which is just a bunch of channels on social media. And I'm pretty much an expert. I think I'm one of the best in the world of, like, getting people to see shit.
Yep.
And that was a trap that I fell into. Like, I became too good of getting people to see shit that I stopped creating.
Mm-hmm.
And my biggest thing was I wasn't creating enough original content. So I built this media company up, right? I was going to fundraise. I had $500,000 committed from someone, and they dropped out. And then all these trials and tribulations. I brought in partners. It didn't work out, and they wanted a percentage. All these trials and tribulations of, like, trying to start a company led me to a point where now, like, we're partnering. I'm partnering with another company to create more original content and to enter a new vertical as well. So it's not just sports. It's sports betting. And I just think what they're going to do is they're going to help me create original content. Shows and whether it's a mental wellness show with athletes or whether it's, like, an Elliot podcast. Like, they're just going to help create more original content.
Yeah.
And it's going to be less. And there it's going to be like, how do you get that scene? But it's also going to be like, you have a product. Like, now you have an actual product. Before, the product I had was just the audience. But if you don't tie the audience to something, it's not as valuable. Like, I can figure out all the growth hacks in the world. That's easy now. TikTok, we gained 500,000 on TikTok in like 2 months. Like, that's easy.
Yeah.
But if you don't have original content, it's just not as valuable.
Yeah.
So I think the crossroads I'm at right now is I figured out content first, which was the editing with YouTube mm-hmm. videos. Yeah. And then it was the distribution, which was with Gary and stuff like that.
Yep.
And then now I'm back to this part where I think, for me personally, I'm going to start creating much original content as well.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm at. And in a variety of different forms, getting into music, just for fun, I was telling you, like,
yeah.
the Pull-Up Boys, it's me, Sam Heisel, and AJ. AJ the Barbarian, we call him. We're doing some music. Which is going to be fun.
Yeah.
Maybe that's like the intro track. We'll create an intro track to Tuesday Morning Coffee with my Batman. He a savage. No, I'm not the hook god, but yeah, so we're doing that. I'm getting into comedy. Mm-hmm. For me personally, these are just side hustles that I think will be fun to, like I said, express. I just think I've figured that out.
Yeah.
It's just, business is cool. I love business, like, I can get into business, it gets me hype, meetings, like coming up with ideas, but like structuring out a company, not my thing.
Yeah.
Like, not my thing at all. Getting employees and talent on board, easy for me. You sell them with the energy.
Yeah.
Retaining them with the structure, someone needs to help me.
It's very hard, yeah.
So that's the partnership I'm entering right now. It gives me a little bit of a cushion, I think similar to what you have with Adobe, where you can like give freedom. And I'm gonna go all in on that. Like, we're gonna create a lot of content, we're gonna be growing a lot of social channels, but gonna have a lot more help doing so with Jason and Aaron, are the two founders of the company. It's actually a Canadian company. And then for me, more side hustles and being able to create and express creatively. That's the biggest thing that I just have to be doing at all times.
I want to talk because
does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I think it's totally good. And it's still I guess it's funny because someone who doesn't like know you and has interacted with you and like spent a lot of time with you, that might feel a little bit abstract. So two things. One, break down like, and obviously you don't have to get too specific, but I'm sure a lot of people don't understand what is a media company?
Yep.
Like AKA Instagram pages. Yep. How are you monetizing that? Yep. Like, how do you survive and how have you structured that lifestyle so that you can now, you know, it's 12:30 on a Thursday and like we just got done with a float tank and like you're now getting into your day. Like you've created a lifestyle that works for you.
Mm.
And I think to a lot of people, maybe in early stages of their career, they're like, how do I even start?
Well, that's the hardest part because I don't know how to start. I think like that's following the intent and intuition, like what we said earlier. It's just following that and just trying a lot of stuff. So one, what is a media company and how do you monetize that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it started off as an Instagram page that grew. And if you want to know how to grow Instagram pages, you can check out my article. Like I've said that a bunch of times.
Sure.
So like you can check that out somewhere else. But basically, it's collaborating in content. That's just what you got to figure out. Then optimizing that content and optimizing those collaborations. That's the short of it. And you understand this.
Yep.
It's on all platforms also. It works on TikTok, YouTube. That's the beauty of it. It's the same shit. You just have to figure out how to tailor towards each platform.
And I think just to like echo what you're just saying, like one, it's creating the original content. And then the collaboration aspect of it is you make all this dope content.
Yeah.
The only way to really get it in front of a massive amount of eyes is leveraging the audiences of other people.
Yeah.
You know,
and it might get seen, but why leave it up to chance when you can, like, you know, like, why would you leave it up to chance for people to see it when you can, like you said, leverage other people's audiences and guarantee it'll be seen by so many more. It just adds a multiple to it where like your virality factor, like your viral coefficient goes from like 0.1 to like 2 all of a sudden out of 100. And like that's 20x. Like that's a big change. And I think there's only so much, there's a cap to, like you can't force shit to be viral. Like you cannot force it. You cannot force people to like it, but you can put yourself in the best position to have it potentially happen, right?
Yeah.
And I think Lil Nas X is a perfect example of that,
mm-hmm.
Of like placing it on pages, like making catchy song, then placing it in different.
Yeah.
So what he did was he made a song called Old Time Road, which was the top for 18 or 19 weeks in a row
mm-hmm.
on the billboards. He made millions of dollars.
Longest song ever been there, yeah.
He was a no-name artist. He placed it in TikTok pages. He placed a trend. He placed it on Instagram and Twitter pages. He paid them to make memes with the song in the background. That's
mm-hmm.
something that my other company, I'll tell you about that as well, has done, Creed. But like, that's a way of like increasing the viral coefficient to a way where you give yourself the most chance for it to happen. You can't force it, but you give yourself a higher chance. And I think the Pull-Up Boys might work is because I have that.
Yeah.
Like the placement, you know, like yeah, the labels sure. use us, Creed Media, shout out Hugo and Tim and all the people, amazing people that work on it.
To even like bring it home one level. Yeah. And we can talk about the like dinner we had a couple months ago where like the whole concept of 24 hours with was really started over that dinner. And the reason that both of us are very convinced it works is because it literally is those.
We gotta get into that because we'll go on a rant.
I know. But like that series does those two things. Yeah. I'm creating original content and then leveraging the audience of the person I'm creating original content. It's like a designed formula to work.
It's foolproof. Like, it cannot fail. It's impossible to fail. And you can create it with a homeless person. And we should preface it with exactly 24 hours.
We'll get into that deeper. Like first, let's, because again, a tangent. Yeah. But
tangents by Elliot Robinson, Tyler Babbitt. So a media company essentially means you've built a fan base and an audience, whether it be on TV or in the newspaper, wherever. I built it on social media. It was through social media. It was mainly through Instagram and then Snapchat and then YouTube. Then YouTube fell off and then it was Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, and now TikTok as well, right? Yep. Not as big of a presence on Twitter. Had millions and millions of followers, and the way it was monetized was through people who wanted to get their shit seen through my pages.
Yeah.
Whether it be a product from Nike, a product from Puma, whether it be a music from YG, or music from A$AP Rocky, or music from Lady Gaga, or whether it be original content creation from the Players Tribune. There's a variety of different, or like a product from like a new startup that's in basketball. Like there's a variety of different people who want their shit seen. Or whether it be app installations. Like there's a lot of ways to monetize online, but the way I did it was just through original programming.
Yeah.
The second thing, how do you also monetize it? I think the company also, why I'm pumped now with the partnership that I'm creating, my biggest problem was my media company was always just my brain, and it was very much tied to me. So I'd be doing all this and juggling it all by myself. Now with this partnership, it will be other people helping as well. So I'm pumped for that. So the other way to monetize is through something called consulting. And consulting was always this, I don't know if it's the same for you, it was always this fucking term that everyone said.
Yeah.
I still don't understand what management consulting is, but
I mean, I don't either, but like every time I see Nick Sharma, he's like, bro, start consulting.
Yeah. And it's like, what does that mean, right? For me, it basically meant just help people out with what they should be doing with what you're good at, right? Yeah. So I consulted for Michael Rubin, who's obviously an owner of the 76ers and billionaire, a lot of good things. So building out a media team for him. Consulted with Dennis Rodman, which is a 4- or 5-time NBA All-Star, world peacemaker, fashion icon. Built social strategy for him and grew his socials as well. So like that's what consulting means.
Yeah.
For me, it's less like 1-hour phone calls and more that, which are just basically short jobs for like 3 months, 6 months, 3 months, 6 months. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how I got by. Like that's good money every month. I guess that explains the media company aspect and angle of things.
There was one random story that just popped into my head. This is the most extreme tangent I'm going to go on, but I want to talk about your Christmas present to me like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Do you remember this? The hoodie?
Yeah.
It's the best thing ever.
Where do we start?
I guess we have to start with me messing up.
Yeah.
So I'm just for some reason pulling just like so far back.
The screenshot, right?
Yeah. when I
said yeah, I didn't know what you were talking about.
Oh, amazing.
But now I know.
The pizza.
I was just buying time.
That's amazing.
Pizza. You tell this story because I know it, but you probably can tell it better and I'll add into it.
This is just like a random like thing. As I was looking at Elliot's hoodie and it reminded me of a gift he got me like 2 years ago. For Christmas, he got me a custom hoodie that he had made with a screenshot on the back. And the context of the screenshot was that whenever I had started working on Gary's team, I was doing a lot of like the graphic design for his Instagram. And he was very dissatisfied with the speed at which I was making things. And like he would always text me and be like, yo, I need something to post. And I wouldn't have anything ready. And there was one like Sunday morning at like 6 a.m. where he texted me and he said, dude, I'm so pissed. And I like thought I was gonna get fired, but his phone auto-corrected and said, dude, I'm so pizza. And as much as I just knew he was so angry and I was like 4 seconds away from losing my job, I couldn't help but laugh through that moment that he had texted me, dude, I'm so pizza. Man. And so Elliot made me a custom hoodie with a giant slice of pizza on the front.
Because you sent it to us in a group chat. You're like, what the fuck does this mean?
I was like, I don't know what to do. And then on the back, there was a screenshot that said, dude, I'm so pizza.
And I think on the front, we had like a pizza graphic.
Yeah, there was
some
a big
shit.
Pizza like emoji.
Yeah. You still have that?
Yeah. Somewhere? It's in my closet somewhere, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's fucking funny.
That was like my all-time favorite
you
gift.
You should wear that like once a week.
Yeah.
Like once a day. You should wear it once a day. That'd be funny as fuck. That's a funny tangent. Oh, man.
Okay. So we talked a lot about Gary. We talked about what you're up to now. Yeah. A little bit higher level on sort of your thoughts on original content creation and how to kind of stand out from the crowd in a way. And not that I want you to like just do a digest on like how to grow Instagram pages. But I think, you know, when you say you're one of the best in the world, I completely agree, because as I've spent time with you, I think you just look at content creation in a much different way than I do. And not that one way is right or wrong, it's just different. And I think your way is super designed to sort of cause a very visceral reaction and like get some sort of level of engagement.
Yeah. I think you have to balance. I think a lot of people, I don't know what the audience for this is, like if it's content creators or distributors or...
Mostly content creators.
So I think a lot of content creators, their biggest flaw is they never think about how to optimize their content towards each specific platform. And I think that's completely fine. I just think then you need to bring someone on or get some help from someone who actually does that.
Yep.
Because you don't want to disrupt your art too much. Like your art is your art and, you know, and you can tailor it, but you can't change it.
Yeah.
So... optimizing for platforms mean understand the consumer behavior of each platform.
Mm-hmm.
You need to understand the consumer behavior. How do people watch YouTube videos? Why do they click in on thumbnails? How many likes versus dislikes does this video have? I'm just talking specifically YouTube now, for example.
Yeah.
What's the title? Like, what's the caption? Like, what are people in the comments saying? Like, what's the comment? Like, I think the most interesting thing about YouTube is like the comment section.
Yeah.
Like, it's like a real community. Like, it's very engaging. Like, you go to Travis Scott's video right now, it's fucking funny. Like, go to his new music video, Highest in the Room. It's like, why is Tyga in my room? Like, and it's like playing off of Kylie Jenner dating Tyga now that they've broken up. Like, it's these small entry, and every comment is like a quote, and then it's like 2019, and it's a quote 2019, and it's all playing off of I'm the highest in the room, and it's like I'm the highest in the room, Travis Scott 2019, and then it's like 6ix9ine, like weed is not legal in this state because he's a snitch. Like, small things, right, like try to understand when you're consuming not only content, but like you're consuming the platform and understand why people interact in the way they do.
Yeah.
And then you can get someone or yourself, you can optimize towards that. Optimize, don't change your shit. Because if you only, because that's where I felt I was going too much, I was only optimizing.
Yeah.
And then like my art was being disrupted, right? Like I wasn't creating as much for myself as I was creating for the platform. Yeah. So
that was always a battle that.
Yeah.
I know, like, I especially faced on Team Gary. And we still, like, you still razz me all the time that, like, I specifically know the rules of, like, best practices for uploading a video. And I still, like, sometimes just won't put captions on because I just like the visuals. And you'll comment and be like, why the fuck aren't you captioning?
Yeah.
You know, like, it's finding that balance of the art versus...
And that's why I think having a person on your team who's able to, like, push you, because you're only going to push your mind a certain way. Like,
yeah, for sure.
You're never going to go, like, this much this way. If we had a fucking podcast called Babin and Dunk, like, I'd be like, yo, let's fucking do this. And you'd be like, let's do this. Yeah. And it'd be, like, the perfect marriage.
Yeah.
So that's why I say you can't necessarily learn it. I think you just have to learn some of it and then get someone to help you with it, right?
Well, I think learn some of it, but then also be self-aware enough to look at the thing you care about the most.
Yeah.
Right.
Because you gotta be happy. Like, you gotta be happy. If you're all of a sudden stressing over all this shit and not doing...
I think the point...
Like, think about the thumbnails, right? You should. Like, think about the title. Like, how do you bring people in?
Yeah.
But then you get to a certain point where, like, there's only so much you can do. Like, you can't... Like, a crown on shit is still a shit with a crown on it.
Yeah, but...
With makeup, I mean.
Right, but the only way for someone to understand whether or not the crown is good or bad is to get them into the room.
Yeah.
And the thumbnail and title and things like that are what gets people into the room.
Yep. 100%. I 100% agree. Yeah. But like you said, the meat, if you ain't good, it's just not sticking.
Yeah.
But something I'm also very passionate about is like looking at consumer behavior on each platform.
Mm-hmm.
And then like it's different on TikTok versus on Instagram. Like it's just a different environment, right?
Yeah.
So look at how people are optimizing on TikTok and look at what kind of content people are creating on TikTok. Then do your own spin on that shit.
Yeah.
You do your own spin. it doesn't have to be at all what other people are doing, but try and like emulate what they're doing, because that's what, obviously what works on the platform.
Yeah. And I mean, I think TikTok especially, like if you don't know what to make, TikTok's probably the best platform to play with, because the trends are showing themselves and then you just recreate what the trends are.
You recreate it in your own way.
Yeah.
You just put your own spin on it.
100%. And then it's the original content and that throws us back into the whole loop we were just talking about.
Do you have a TikTok?
I have it. I haven't started creating anything
yet. You have your username Bavin and shit? If you start creating, I'll connect you with them. They'll get you verified. You need to start, dude.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's so crazy. It's so crazy.
Yeah.
It's like, I've never seen anything like it. Never in my life have I ever been so excited about a platform.
Yeah? Are you posting?
Yes. Yes. And the idea I had in the float tank, which I was trying to get before, is like...
Yeah.
If I can channel 1 or 2 hours of like my other shit that I'm doing right now on Instagram into either YouTube or TikTok, we're golden. We're sailing.
Right, we're going for like 45 minutes. What else should we talk about?
I paint my nails.
Yeah, talk to me about that. I noticed. For those on the audio version, Elliot has his two thumbs painted orange.
Yeah, orange. And I have like a Burning Man thing because I went to Burning Man and like...
Is that still from Burning Man?
It's 3 weeks old. Okay. So kind of. I did it after to just like... strike up conversations with people, and it kind of worked last weekend or 2 weekends ago. His chick was like, "Oh, Burning Man." I was like, "What's up?" that's not what it's for, but it's for just like when I'm typing like this on my phone, I see my thumbs all the time.
Yeah,
and it started off as a way to like create a conscious anchor for myself. So every time I'd see my thumb, I'd be like,
interesting.
I'd focus on my breath and just like become more aware. It goes very well into what we're doing with the float.
Yeah.
But then it became more of just like, I don't know, it's a way to express myself. It's cool.
Yeah,
I did consulting for Dennis Robin for like, 6 months, and I got very close with him, and he obviously paints his nails all the time. So that's where I drew the inspiration from. But then I think I added my own spin by just like adding shit on it, like a smiley or like fire.
Last question, I guess.
Yeah.
And the cool thing is, like, you've done a lot of stuff, and, like, you've had, like, a pretty eventful life. You just turned 22, right?
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
And then what's next? What do you sort of, I guess, see, like, the... Well, actually, I guess there's two questions. One, do you look kind of into the future of what you want things to be? Because I don't. I'm very much, like...
I haven't been.
I am lucky if I can see, like, 6 months ahead.
Yeah. I'm very much the same way.
Yeah.
I would like not to be. Like...
You wish that you could go further?
No, I don't know.
No, wait, unpack that.
I just think, I don't know, some people just like, sometimes they're like, I know they know exactly what they want in 40 years, and I think it makes the journey easier.
For sure.
I don't, and I think maybe I'll get there, maybe I won't, we'll see.
No.
What's next is just like...
And you know what's interesting? So I was in Seattle a few months ago working on a project, and I met someone there. I did like a little meetup.
Yeah.
And there was this guy that I met, and he basically like... year by year explain to me what he's doing between now and when he retires.
Yeah, that
he's
must
like,
be fucking
I'm opening
nice.
Up. He's like, I'm going to get an ice cream shop by the lake. It's going to be called this. We're going to have this flavor.
Yeah.
This is what my wife's going to do. And I was just like, wow, you have your shit put together.
Yeah.
I don't know where I'm waking up tomorrow. You
know what I mean? I was like, I don't want to be here for dinner tonight. Like.
Yeah, yeah. And so it's funny because I... it was because I was going on a flight. I didn't know where I was flying to yet.
That's funny.
The weird thing I think is like the reason I actually don't want to know what my plan is because I think if I say I want to achieve X, even if I have huge ambitions, if I want to make X amount of money and I want to do X project or whatever, I might actually be putting a cap on what I'm capable of.
Hmm.
You know?
Yeah. What if that goal is just so fucking far up though? Like I'm going to be the biggest creator ever.
I mean, I think there's a chance I can do that. But, like, that's good. I mean, it's in the same way, like, Gary wants to buy the Jets. Like, it's such an insane goal. Yeah.
It's interesting. It's, like, I think you can be happy with both.
For sure.
With and without. Yeah. I think it all goes back to, like, being able to, in the moment, you know, like, what's your guidance there, you know?
Yeah.
What is your guidance to getting there? And I think that's, for me, more interesting than that end thing.
Yeah.
Like, what's your guidance to get... Yeah, I don't know, man. It's an interesting... It's like you get all philosophical and deep and shit, but I think the past couple of months have, like, showed me it's creating more.
Yeah.
A lot more betting on yourself, whatever that means. Mm-hmm. Like, you can make a living off of being yourself. Like, don't let anyone tell you you can't.
Yeah.
Don't ever discredit like your own ability to do things. Like, you're enough. You don't need that. You don't need to seek validation from others. Like, you're fine. Like, you're enough. That's like a big, not mantra, but like a thing I've been thinking about, because many times I'm like, oh, I gotta do this, I gotta do this to prove myself, and it's just like, nah, you don't, bro. Yeah. Like, and the more you don't, the more you do actually prove yourself, because mm-hmm. like the more impressed people get by you not trying to impress them. It's this weird, like, this weird, you know, convoluted fucking,
well, it's puzzle. I think it kind of goes to like authenticity in a weird way, right? Like,
yeah,
the more authentic you are, the more people think you're like doing maybe things that are bigger than what you're doing, like, yeah, you're just being yourself.
Yeah, and it's interesting, man.
I love it. Yeah. Anything else you want to leave us with? I think this was a really good conversation. There were so many things we didn't even dig into. We're gonna do like a V2 at some point.
We might need a V2.
Yeah.
Let's write out with a quote, with two quotes. One about the flotation tanks. We should probably mention lightly the flotation tanks.
Yeah, I was gonna give an intro, but yeah, I'll give context. Yeah. So I mean, we've been trying to like get together for a little bit. This just seemed like a good day. I wanted to do the podcast with you, and you're doing something really cool with a sensory deprivation floating tanks. You're doing a 30-day kind of like case study.
30 days straight.
Yeah. Every day. And I've had a lot of friends that have pushed me to do one before, and I just never have.
Yeah.
And so today seemed like the right day. So we went and did that this morning and then came to film the podcast, and it was crazy. Like, it was we kind of vlogged about it, but I'll echo it. It's weird because you had really pushed for that. It like helps with creativity, which I can feel. And like, even now it's been a few hours since we've gotten out, I'm feeling more creative.
Yeah.
But it helped me just kind of like deal with things in my life that have been kind of nagging me.
Yeah.
Things that have been on my mind, like shit that's stressing me out a little bit. I got to like kind of unpack that a little bit. And for those that don't know what it is, I mean, you get into a pod with probably like, you know, 10 inches of water in it and you just float. I guess, what is it? It's like so salt heavy.
It's salt. It's magnesium salt. I don't know. It's like is it the Dead Sea or the Red Sea? I think it's the Dead Sea.
I think it's the Dead Sea. Yeah.
Because nothing can live there because it's so salt, and you just float.
Yeah.
You're weightless for an hour. There's no senses are activated. You basically don't touch anything for an hour. And the best way to put it is you feel when the lights go off, you feel as if you disappear from the face of the earth.
Yeah.
And it's just you and your mind, baby. And like, you got to work through that shit. And when you get out, it's just this, just like, what just happened for an hour? And I'm doing that for 30 days, Babin. I was happy to have you there today.
Yeah. Glad I would be a part of it.
A quote from it. I just don't want to forget it. It feels like this is what I felt after yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like the clouds in your mind are pushed to the side and then you're able to tap into your mountaintops.
Yeah.
That's like a way for me of recapping what this whole experience was.
Yeah. My guy.
Write it out on that.
This was good. Thanks so much. I'm going to close it out. Thank you guys for listening to this episode of Tuesday Morning Coffee. All the support's been really, really amazing. This week, if you guys didn't hear, the first 30 people that left written reviews on Apple Podcasts got put into a private Instagram group chat with me and the other 30 people for some like cool networking shit. I'm going to come up with some sort of second contest thing to get some more of you guys involved. But for the time being, if you guys would roll over to Apple Podcasts and leave a review and a rating, that would really help out a ton.
I will shout out the first 30 people that do on my Elliot Instagram.
There we go.
Like, this is like the optimizing, like, this is smart.
Yeah.
They should subscribe and review. 100%. Subscribe and review. And if you're already subscribed, like, click unsubscribe and then subscribe again. That's what Barstool does, because that affects their ratings.
Screenshot it and then DM it to myself and at Elliot on Instagram.
At Babin and at Elliot.
And we'll shout those people out.
Yeah. I'll do all 30 people.
I love it.
Yeah.
Bang.
See, I love that. That's the balance of like creating versus being able to optimize. And that's like a small thing, but it does the biggest difference, because then you start doing more of those things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Hope you have an amazing week, an amazing Tuesday, and I will catch you next week.
Yeah.